Have you ever heard the Mormon myth that Alice Cooper was a Mormon? It turns out that that's partially true. Historian John Hamer and Apostle Lachlan Mackay of the Community of Christ will talk about some lively Mormon meetings, and we'll talk a little bit about Alice Cooper as well. We'll also talk about differences in the LDS Church and our LDS Church. What's the difference between a pastor and a bishop? Check out our conversation. Thank you again for liking our page on Facebook and on YouTube. We're almost up to 200 subscribers on YouTube, so that's fantastic. Please also like our page on Facebook, and please share our podcast with as many people as you can. That'll really help us a lot. We'd also love a 5-star review on iTunes. Thanks again for listening, and check out our conversation. Well, let's move on to some of the others. Okay. So we've talked about Sidney Rigdon. No, this is
Rigdonites, by the way, so even though his church atomized, there is an extant Rigdonite tradition church, and it's called the Church of Jesus Christ. It's headquartered in Monongahela, Pennsylvania. A lot of times, people, outsiders, call them the Bickertonites. They don't particularly like that. But that's named after William Bickerton, who's an early leader of that church after Sidney Rigdon. And so that is in the Rigdon tradition, and it's sometimes seen as the third largest of the extant branches from 1844, with Brighamite being the largest, Josephite, or Community of Christ, RLDS tradition, being the second largest, third largest being the Rigdonite or Bickertonite branch. And so they're a very interesting group. They're headquartered in Monongahela, Pennsylvania, and they have kind of like a Kirtland era church where they do feet washing. They're a little Pentecostal. They do everything by the Spirit. They don't write down the talks. You know, you have to do it by the Spirit, just like praying by the Spirit, and other interesting things like that. They were the first Restoration Tradition church to have a black apostle back in the 1920s. Oh, wow. So there's all kinds of thing. Who's the Alice Cooper?
Oh, his dad.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Alice Cooper. I'm trying to think of his one. Yeah, so Alice Cooper's grandfather is named, I don't remember what the Nephi or something
Moroni,
like that.
Something like that.
And so he was like one of the presidents or one of the apostles. I mean, his grandfather's like one of the apostles. And so he's not like an active member. He was like raised in the church. I don't think actually he was even baptized.
Mm-hmm. So you said they were a Pentecostal. Did they speak in tongues?
That's what I meant by Pentecostal. Yeah, okay. I don't mean modern Pentecostal.
Not modern Pentecostal.
No, not a modern Pentecostal. But yes, they speak in tongues is what they do. But not like a modern Pentecostal church. I didn't mean it that way. But in that same way, a Pentecost in terms of speaking in tongues.
So would it like a person moved upon by the Spirit, would they get up and start speaking just strange.
You know, I haven't actually been to a service where that, have you been to one where they've done it?
I drove by, but wasn't able to stop.
I went to a regional conference and it was amazing. I don't remember, but nobody actually spoke in tongues during it, but it was the liveliest Latter-day Saint tradition service I have ever been to. Some tradition churches are kind of notoriously boring, you know, within the tradition. won't point fingers. But anyway, but this was the opposite of that because, you know, like at any given moment, you know, the person who's presiding, you know, would say, you know, oh, but, you know, Brother Locke, do you feel, you know, like you want to come up and speak to us on tithing, you know, and things like that. And so you'd come up and you give us, you know, and you feel to do a musical number. I mean, literally, there's no program, and you don't ever know what's going to even end. And at a certain point, I'm like, what are they going to call me to do? I was thinking what I'm going to say. so it's a very active and lively, and it was really great.
Wow. So I will tell you this. When I was in Independence, I think it was about 7 years ago, I went to the Stone Church, and that kind of reminded me a little bit of the Salt Lake Tabernacle, because you've got the wooden pillars and everything, and that was a lot of fun. And then I went... at the end of that meeting, there's another church over kind of by the auditorium, more modern Community of Christ.
I think they've moved. The Open Arms congregation. So yeah,
they had electric guitars and drums, and I was like, oh my gosh,
what is this?
Is weird. This is like Holy Roller Mormons or something. And then Jim Buncannon told me that a lot of times they have guitars at the Rock. At the Stone, is it called the Stone Church or the
Stone
Rock
Church?
Stone Church. And I was like, oh, I've never seen.
Yeah, I've not experienced that. But
they do. I don't know. But different congregations have very different characters and traditions. It's kind of interesting when you go around to the different community. So As opposed to having a correlation, which has been the recent experience in the LDS Church, where everything is really standard plan, and it's actually point of pride that anywhere you go all around the planet, it's going to be the same in the LDS Church. We have less to be proud of if that was what we were going for. But anyway, any congregation and community of Christ is going to be remarkably different. And so it's always interesting for me to go and see, oh, that's interesting how they do that. I mean, it actually, you know, because we do it, what we do is very different in my congregation.
So. So one other question I wanted to mention here, while we're talking a little bit about differences, is I understand the community of Christ has both a pastor and a bishop. You're currently serving as a pastor, is that
yes.
right?
Yes. So I'm pastor of the downtown Toronto congregation.
So what's the difference between a pastor and a bishop?
So the original leader of a congregation or a branch, they would be called branches in the early church, is called a pastor. And so if you go to the Articles of Faith, one of the offices that we believe in that are being restored includes pastors and evangelists. And you may be wondering in some tradition, well, we don't seem to have pastors and evangelists. But evangelist was used in the early church as a synonymously with patriarch. And so that is the same. And so in Community of Christ, we say evangelist, and it's the same general idea as in the LDS Church for patriarchs. But for pastor, what that is, it's the same equivalent as what you call branch president in the LDS Church, where presiding elder of a branch is also the pastor. So a bishop is originally a very different role in the early church. And so this is they had all these communitarian ideals, and they were trying to, let's say, make common stock companies. And so the idea is that when you would consecrate property to the church, then that would be the temporalities, you know, property and stuff like that would be under the bishopric. And so the bishop, later becomes the presiding bishop of the church, is in charge of the property, and the bishops, the other bishops, are also in charge of the money part of it. So what ends up happening to change that in the LDS tradition is, you know, in the whole course of the pioneer trek, where you really are having to really pool all of your resources, and the whole it becomes very intertwined, you know, and all the money. And so then, as a result of just appointment of massive numbers of more bishops that Brigham Young does, then there's suddenly all these bishops, and the leaders of the different groups are bishops, and then they divide sections of territory up. Then you have to go to the church within your territory, which they use the civic term of ward. You know, it's like a precinct of a it's a civil term that cities have. And so a ward area, a zone, then is rule, you know, is run by a bishop in the LDS system, and that displaces the need for having a pastor. So in Community of Christ, you saw today in the worship service here in Salt Lake, that there was a pastor and then there was a bishop. But there's not a bishop for every congregation or anything like that. So there just happened to be here a bishop. But essentially, each congregation will have a pastor. But then bishops are a financial officer, and they'll be more regional. So it's maybe a bigger role or bigger job.
It goes back to N.K. Whitney, Bishop of the Ohio Church, Edward Partridge, Bishop of the Missouri Church, so regional financial officer.
Yeah. Now, as I understand it, I thought that was pretty interesting. Hopefully I'm not misunderstanding that. The bishop and the pastor here in Salt Lake are a husband and wife team. Is that correct?
No.
Oh, I got that wrong.
Yeah. No, the bishop is married to... who said the prayer in Ukrainian. That's her husband.
Oh, okay. So I did get that confused. I was like, well, that's kind of cool to have. That's quite a team there. So I got that confused. Okay.
So there'll be a way. So bishops don't correspond to congregations. So we don't have a bishop in my congregation.
Okay.
The closest bishop is there's a bishop in one of the suburban congregations.
Okay, and the bishop is in charge of the Aaronic priesthood.
So yeah, technically, I mean, that's what it was originally.
Really, a financial officer, yeah. Typically for a region.
Okay.
I mean, so in the pulpit system in Kirtland Temple, the bishops are on the top of the Aaronic pulpit, and that's how it works. And functionally, so de facto now, we don't have our Aaronic priesthood to all go and meet with our bishop.
Presiding bishopric is over the Aaronic priesthood today. So yes, but really they're the chief financial officers for the mission center or stake or...
Region, regional area.
Okay.
So they're assigned to their region as opposed to.
Cool. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with John and Locke. In our next conversation, we'll talk about some other Mormon groups. Many of you are familiar with the persecution suffered by followers of Brigham Young's across the plains in 1847. But were you aware of another Mormon group, the persecution suffered by James Strang and his followers? It's pretty amazing to hear about.
Anyway, so then the Strangites face pretty terrible. So then the way worse than, and almost the worst that Mormons ever have faced whenever they got kicked out of anywhere.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you like our page on facebook.com/gospeltangents. You can subscribe at YouTube at youtube.com/gospeltangents. We're also on Twitter at @gospeltangents, as well as make sure that you subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss any of our episodes. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some more of our videos. Thanks again.